pray to us today. So let's pray, and we'll get right into our lesson. Jesus, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this place. This place is not sacred, but what is sacred is the people who walk in here that know you, the people who brought you into this space today. And I pray as we talk about our core, as we talk about our character, as we talk about the things that make us us, make us who we are, that God, you would help us to listen, not just with our ears today, but with our heart, with our head, and with our hands and our feet. God, this is a big one today. This is something you want the whole church to know. And so I pray that you will just let us press into you. Give us attention like we've never had before, because I know a lot of us, we're used to 3-minute clips. We're used to a 3-minute reel. We're used to a 3-minute TikTok. We're used to a 3-minute commercial. We're used to little episodes. And God, when we talk about some guy talking for 20 minutes, 25 minutes about the Word of God, we tend to check out. God, help us not to do that today. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. We're in this series called Blind Spots. We're in this series today called Core Transformation. And today I want to talk about something that's really important. It's important to me because I've been discovering that I have more and more of those than I ever thought I did. And I'm 67 years old, and you would think that I need to get a new one of these. Second. Thought we had it fixed. Check, check. Here we go. We'll try that. Okay. I'll just hold it, see what that does. What is God trying to do through our character? And that's what we want to talk about a little bit today. What's God trying to do through our lives? The ultimate answer to that is he wants to make you more like Jesus. That's it. What is God doing in this place? What's God doing in your life? He wants to make you more like his son, Jesus. Romans 8:29 says this. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. To be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he is wanting to do in you. And I. 2 Corinthians says this. It's another verse. I can't tell you what I say, but I tell you what Jesus says. He says this, for the Lord is a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord, who is the spirit, makes us more like him, more and more like him, as we are changed into his glorious image. That's our lot, to be look more like Jesus until the time you go into the dirt. To look more and more like Christ. When we become Christ followers, believers in Christ, Jesus starts the process in us of making us look like him. And it does it more and more as time goes by. It can take your entire lifetime to do this. And when you get to the end, you're still not where you need to be. But it's not a once and done kind of thing. It is a process. The Bible doesn't leave us a mystery as how we're supposed to look as the image of Christ, because that's kind of an ambiguous term. I want to look like Jesus. What does Jesus look like? Galatians tells us very, very succinctly, 5:22. Here's what Jesus looks like. But the fruit of the Spirit, who's the Spirit? Jesus is love. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is the proof text right there. That's what we're to look like. We're to have those things in our life. We're supposed to, when somebody looks at us, they're supposed to see that stuff. Do they? Do they? The Bible sets it up very clearly. What it means to be transformed, to have your core transformed, is to be, there's fruit popping up in you. There's fruit popping up. Do you have fruit in your life? When people look at you, do they see anything that looks like Jesus? Or are you just a kind of a bump on a log? I don't know. Let that sit there for a second. I mean, the Bible's really clear. Now let me get a little bit clear. Here's a sentence I want to run out past you. The next sentence, guys, says this. Here, this is the best way I can do it. Okay, you and I, we're living on this rock. We're living in this time. Here it is. When I'm in control of my personality, when I'm in control of my character, I leave damage in my wake. Everywhere I go, I leave damage. I do. I just hurt people. I'm a person that doesn't mean to, but I hurt people. So do you. Your mouth, your intent, you hurt people. You do it with your tone. You do it with the words you say. You do it with a facial expression. You do it with even your hands and your feet sometimes. You leave a wake of terror some places. When God's in control of my personality, I will leave blessings in my wake. Now, this is tough. This is a tough lesson to teach because I'm going through it, and I want you to go through it too. And I'm telling you, it's a hard lesson to get a hold of. And we want to be those kind of people who leave blessing and not damage. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to look back over your life and to see, are there people in your life that you've just left wrecked? Or do you even know it? Did you even see that you hurt some of your kids that you had when you were raising them? Did you hurt a friend? Did you hurt your ex? Or your other ex? Or your other ex? Several months ago, I was at my mom's memory care place where she lives. And she lives in the second floor of the Otterbein, the community over here in Franklin. And they do a decent job, you know, as good as any. And they're good sometimes and they're not good sometimes because they have people running the show and people don't always make the show great. But this particular night, it was okay. I was sitting there, and my mom wasn't eating very well, and so I went over and I decided to go, started going at lunchtime or supper time, because I wanted to help her eat. And I got there, and this was a particular night. I'd been there several nights like this, and I was helping her cut her food and helping her try to get it in her mouth and remember that she needed to chew it and that she liked it or she didn't like it. And as I was doing this, this lady came around. There was probably 10 ladies in this cafe room where they're sitting. And this lady comes around the corner, and she is impeccably dressed. She's got earrings on. She's got necklace, beautiful top, beautiful, I mean, just gorgeous shoes. She's got everything is beautiful, but the one thing she doesn't have on is pants. And her name for this little story is, I'll call her Barb. Sorry, Barb. It's not our Barb. It wasn't you, Barb. It wasn't you, I promise. And everybody sees her coming around the corner with no pants. And they say, the residents go, Barb, you don't got no pants. And Barb says, yes, I do. Barb, you don't have pants on. Everybody's saying this. Now, there's 6 or 7 of these people who are barely able to put together a lot of sentences. They're going, Barb, you don't have any pants on. And finally, one of the care workers got up and said, dear, let's go back to your room and we'll get this sorted out. So they walked, and I could hear down the hall, I got pants on. I know I got pants on. She didn't have pants on. I'll attest to that. And it was an awkward time. But it livened up the lunchroom, so that was kind of good. Here's the thing. Barb was unhappy with her evaluation of people around her. She didn't like it. She thought everything was 100% okay when it was 100% wrong. Reality is everybody around Barb was right, and Barb was wrong. There's so many times that you and I are like Barb. We are. People in our life have tried to tell us things about ourselves, and the way that we relate, and the way we talk, and the ways that we interact. We've insisted, I really do got pants on. I got pants on. I promise. I have pants on. When really we don't. Why do we do that? Because there's a disconnect. There's this disconnect in us. And the disconnect in us is sometimes we just have this thing called a blind spot. Anybody ever told you got a blind spot? Well, they have me. Why do we do that? Because we have blind spots. The definition, I would say this, of a blind spot is this. The places in our character, the places in our personality where we lack clarity about us, where we lack insight about us, or we lack awareness of ourselves. Boy, that's easy to do. We all have them because we can become blind to our own blindness. You know what I'm talking about. Just a very simple thing. You know that when your breath starts smelling, other people know it, but you don't sometimes. You ever been there? Oh my gosh, my breath. Oh my gosh, I got stink coming off my body, and I don't smell it because you become what? Nose blind. Nose blind. Here's the danger. Here's the danger of not taking those things, those flashes of things that people say to you. Because what you do is, over time, if you do not do something about the blind spot, you will lose your ability to see the truth like Barb. I got pants on. I'm impeccable. I'm right just the way I am. Why don't we learn from our mistakes? Why don't we seek freedom from the prison that some of us are in? Some of you are in real prisons because you're stuck by your blind spot, and no preacher and no service can get to it except you and God and sometimes his people. Why don't we learn from mistakes? Why do we keep repeating the same things over and over and over again? Because of these spots. I can think of some reasons. First one is this, pain. Pain is a real modifier for blind spots. It hurts. It hurts when somebody tells you that you have a blind spot. It hurts when somebody says, you're not as kind as you think you are. You're not a giving person. You're not a listener. You're horrible. Well, I thought I was okay. You're not a loving person. What? Secondly is pride. Pride. I mean, I just flat out, it's just flat old pride. People have told me things like that, and the minute somebody tells me stuff, you know what? And you're like this too. I turn into a third grader. I know I am, but what are you? Right? Right? Come on. I think another reason is because fear. Honestly, we're going, I don't know what to do about this. This is the way I always have been. I've always been a loud mouth. I've always just said what's on my mind. This is who I am. Really? What is in your wake? Blessing or messes? Another reason is laziness. Because it's flat out hard to change. It's flat out hard to change when somebody comes up to you and says, you're not doing this. You're not meeting my needs, husband. You're not doing this, wife. Then there's stubbornness. Just flat out, you're a rebel. Some of you have been rebels since the day you were born. You popped out of your mom going, I'm here, serve me. Serve me. Bring it on. You want me to do that? Nope. Nope. Not going to do that. I'm a rebel. I'm just stubborn. And then there's the last one, and we don't think about this much. And this is a tough one to even talk about because it brings up things. There's trauma. There's trauma. Painful things that have wounded us. Painful things that have scarred you. Painful things that have happened to you in your past, in your childhood. Those things that were abusive. Those things were violent. Those things that you witnessed. Those horrible things that you saw. Those things that were done to you. Those things that were done to others, and you were a part of it. Those things over time create a distorted view of how you view yourself. And we become blind to it. We think that we're okay. We think that we're a good person. We think we're a good guy. We think we're a good girl. We think we've got a handle on it and we're all right. In reality, we're not. One of the prayers I've been praying since my health issues of last year. By the way, this is my almost third month that I've been out of the hospital. How about that? Yes. Sorry. I'm praising God. I'm not bragging. I'm praising God. Now, tomorrow, if you hear that I'm in the hospital, it's God's going, too much pride, too much pride. No, I'm just kidding. One of the prayers I've been praying besides, God, heal me. I want to be right with my folks here. I want to lead them. I want to be who you want me to be. One of the prayers I've been praying, and I didn't realize it was this, but it was this. Show me where I'm blind. Because I've become blind. I've become blind to things in this place. I've become blind to things in my own life. And I like, God, show me those spots. Wonder if you'd be willing to do that. We'll talk about that at the end. I don't want to be in control of my character. I want you to be in control of my character. I want to leave some blessings behind me. I don't want to leave messes everywhere I go. Well, there's a couple reasons and responses that we can have to these blind spots that I'm talking about. And by the way, praying that prayer is hard because you have to do some hard work. Because you have to really start looking inward and you don't like what you see sometimes if you're willing to do it. Not everybody is. Not everybody is. What's some responses to these blind spots? Well, first of all, it's just easy to say this. That's not right. I reject it outright. I'm not what you say I am. The second way is to acknowledge it and say, you know, I do X, Y, and Z, but, you know, you can do that and you can try to work on it for a second. But the best way is for believers, for you to accept that you are who you are and let God root it out. Let God root it out of you. You can't root out a blind spot by yourself. God has to root it out of you. But you have to let him. You have to let him. So how do we get this picture of who we really are? How do we get an actual picture? Because if you're here today and you've got loads of trauma in your past and people have injured you time and time again, and when you look at your mirror, you're going, ugh, and you don't even want to look at the mirror. And you don't even want to look at what's wrong in your life because it's painful. It's painful. Why did everybody reject you? Why did everybody say that you weren't good enough? Why does nobody talk to you and they talk to that person or that person? It's to let God root it out. God wants to root out your blind spots today. So how do we see ourselves then in that light? How can God take that mirror? What mirror do we take and say, God, I want to find the blind spots in my life? The first one is this. You believe and accept that you are God's beloved. If you do not believe that God loves you so much that he, every time he looks at you, he goes, that's my son, that's my daughter. If you don't believe that today, you're in a hard spot to start this process. If you're out there thinking that God's always trying to get you, if you're out there thinking that God's got his thumb and he wants to put it right smack dab in the middle of your life and crush whatever dreams and hopes you have, then you're in a bad spot. God wants you to know that you are his beloved. The second thing is he wants you to look in an accurate mirror. And it's so important to look at ourselves through an accurate mirror. You ever been to those fun houses? And you go, and there's all those stupid mirrors, and I always go to the one that makes you look thinner. And I'm like, look at me, I'm 9 foot tall and 6 inches wide. It's wonderful. And then you go to the one that makes you look like a small person. Look like you've been flattened by a pancake. When we look in the accurate mirror and we see ourselves for who God made us, it makes such a difference. Look what James says. And this is this is a verse to really grab onto this week. James 1, 22 to 25. Read along with me. I don't think I put the whole verse up, did I, Tom? Okay, this is good. But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men, he will not only remember it, but he will do what it says. He will do what it says. When you take God's word, his mirror, that's the mirror. God's word is the mirror. And when you put it up to your face, what's it say? He will. If you do what it says, you will remember it, and you will have an accurate picture of what God wants to do in you. God's word is always an accurate mirror. We can trust what God shows you about yourself and his word. And the reason so many of you have blind spots is because you don't know what's in the word. You don't read it. You don't read it. One more time. You don't read it. Or if you read it, you read it chapter by chapter by chapter, and you don't even remember what you read. What good does that do? That's like eating at buffets all day long. Let's go to breakfast buffet. Let's go to lunch buffet. All you do is cram stuff in until something comes out. It's like, oh, that's bad. Buffet after buffet after buffet. If you don't do something about it, and you look at it, it doesn't do any good. God's correction never comes through a voice of guilt. He never looks at you and says, you're stupid. He never looks at you and says, you're not enough. He never looks at you and says, you're a bad parent or a bad grandparent. He never looks at you and says those things. That's the other guy. The other guy comes at you and he whispers and says to you, why read the Bible? The last time you did it, you never got nothing. You never got nothing. God's voice always comes in love. God's voice always comes alongside of us and speaks truth that makes us look at ourselves and go, oh, yeah, there's a hair out of place. Oh, yeah, there's a zit that needs popped. Oh, yeah, there's a booger hanging out of my nose. Those are all blind spots. And you're all walking around with them every day going, I'm all right. And you're not. Why do we not actually see ourselves? Because we have to start to look at our patterns of behavior. And most of us, we don't like to go back because it hurts. And we look at the things in our life, and there's people in your life that don't want to be around you anymore. There's people that you have walked away from. There's people that have walked away from you. And honestly, you're sitting there looking at the mirror and going, I'm okay. But if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And a lot of you, today, I need to tell you, there's a duck in your life. And it's a blind spot. There's some things that God wants to root out of you today. Follow along with this. We're just about done. God is interested in our relationship with each other. He's interested in our relationship with him, of course, but he's interested in how you get along with these people that you do life with. If God shows, and here's the reason why we have trouble with God's people coming and sharing blind spots with us, okay? If God shows me a blind spot, I know that God's perfect. Now, I don't have to take it, but I know he's perfect, and I know he sees it. Sometimes I'm trying. Sometimes I'm doing what he wants me to do. If you come and tell me I've got a blind spot, my immediate thought is, who are you to tell me you're a flawed individual? I'm a flawed individual. Go suck beans. And God never intended for us to do that. He intended for us to listen to that person. And we don't always have to change everything right away or open it up to God, but we have to say, what are these patterns? Who have I hurt? Who have I pushed off? Who have I pushed away? Because the thing is, I'm going to fix that this week, maybe. I don't know what else to do. Got to make fun of it or I'm going to cry. All right. God knows everything about you. Everything. And the people around here, they know a lot about you. And you have got to start letting people that you, not everybody, but you've got to let some people come into your life and speak truth in love to you. And then you have to take God's mirror and stick it up to your face and say, okay, God, what is area that you want to root out in me? Some of you have got some horrible things going on. Horrible blind spots. Horrible. I found these five questions, and I think I put them up on our board today in a magazine about 6 years ago, and I thought someday I'm going to use those, and this is the day. Five blind spot questions to ask, and just see what you think about these. First is this. What is it that I'm pretending not to know about me? What is it I'm pretending not to know? This one kills me every time because I play a lot of pretend. I play a lot of dress-up dolls and G.I. Joe because I'm like, no, that isn't right. That's not right. What is it that you're pretending not to know about you? Second, what am I pretending to know about me that is not a problem? What is it that I keep saying that's not a problem? You know, my drinking is not a problem. I just do it to relax, okay? I just have to release. You know, when I yell at you, I'm just yelling at you because I got to get it all out because that's just the way I am. What are you pretending it's not a problem? What is it that I'm pretending that I've overcome? What are you pretending that you've overcome? Oh, yeah, I used to be like that. I used to be really not generous, but today I'm very generous. I used to be a really good listener, but now I'm not a good listener, but now I'm a good listener. Bull poopy. You're not. What is it that you think you're good at? The next one. What is it you think you're good at, but those closest to you tell you that you're not good at it? Anybody ever come up to you and said, you're not very good at that? Yes, I am. And what is it like to be on the other side of me? Ooh, this is a soul cruncher. What's it like to live with Jeff Saunders? Don't ask Brenda. What's it like to be on the other side of the words that come out of my mouth? The things, the thoughts. What's it like to be that person? If you don't think like that, you will treat people like people to just be in your way. And you will move them quickly out of the way. What's it like to be on the other side of me? And then lastly, I love this one. Every day, we got to sit before God in humility and saying, God, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Would you cleanse me? Would you cleanse my heart? Would you cleanse my mouth? Would you cleanse my eyes? Would you cleanse my ears? I want to read this psalm to you. It's a Psalm 51. I've read this many times over the years, and it's become very precious to me. It's a Psalm of David. I want you to close your eyes, and I want to read it over you, and then I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come after I'm done with this scripture. You guys come on up. Just close your eyes. If you can shut the lights down, Diane, I'd like that too. I just want to get you just You and God, listen to my words, not my words, sorry, God's words. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be prayed right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my innermost being. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again. You've broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me, that you would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you a burnt offering, you would not accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. It's a broken and repentant heart, O God. You will not despise. You can keep your eyes closed. Man, David had it going on. He knew what it was like. If I brought you a burnt offering, you would not accept it, because the sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. Let me ask you this. When's the last time that your heart was broken for something of God? When was the last time your heart was repentant for something that made you cry? And you're going, I just made God cry. I just hurt God by what I did. The words that came out of my mouth, the things that went through my brain, they hurt God. God wants you to start there today with your core transformation. Come on up, guys. The core transformation that he wants to do in you is that repentant, broken heart, that heart that is open to him, that says to him, God, I'm a mess, and I know it. Have your way with me. Let's pray. Father, we are in your presence right now, and we are grateful to be your beloved. We are grateful for the correction that you send our way. It is not to shame us. It is not to harm us. It is not to make us feel small or weak or less than somebody else. But your desire is to show us truthfully about who we are. We are your beloved. And the places that we are weak, the places we are miserable, the places we are poor, the places we are tired, the places we want to leave, not a wake of a mess, but a wake of blessing. God, help us just to open our hearts to you today. God, we give you this time to have your way with us.